Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. We close out this week's show with contributor Larry Nagengast and his ongoing examination of historic preservation efforts and issues in Newcastle County. This week, Larry's coverage takes us to a property in the city of Newcastle. Buttonwood is a 180-year-old riverfront summer home associated with a 19th-century Delaware Supreme Court Chief Justice. But it has fallen into disrepair and faces several obstacles to avoiding demolition by neglect. For this week's Enlighten Me, Larry details these obstacles in his latest piece, available at DelawarePublic.org, and he joined me this week to assess its future. So as we always do with these historic properties we talk about, let's start with the history lesson. Tell us a little bit about Buttonwood. You note in your piece, it may not stand out as much as other sites we've discussed, correct?
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, when we talk about historic Newcastle, when anybody talks about historic Newcastle, you know, some of the first buildings that come to mind are, of course, the courthouse and the sheriff's house and the George Reed II house, the arsenal, the Amstel house, the Dutch house. Buttonwood seldom gets any sort of mention. And, you know, partly that's because it's been vacant for more than 25 years. And also because it's really off the beaten path. It's actually in an industrial park just north of the Newcastle's historic district. Anyway, talk about the history a little bit. Although the Buttonwood property is also often associated with James Booth Sr., who was the former Chief Justice of Delaware, the home itself was built in the 1830s, which was actually a few years after James Booth Sr. died. And it was apparently built by the brother-in-law of one of his daughters. And now, as was the custom of affluent Newcastle residents of the era, Buttonwood served as kind of a vacation getaway. It was a riverfront haven that they used to escape the hustle and bustle of downtown Newcastle, if you can imagine that. And even if it was really just a mile away from the heart of town. The home and the adjacent farm stayed in the hands of the Rogers family, those were Booth's in-laws, until 1879, when it was sold at a sheriff's sale because the Rogers family had a bunch of unpaid bills. Later on, there was a succession of steel mills owned the property, and they typically rented the land to tenant farmers. So Buttonwood itself remained intact. It was never torn down or actually became part of any of the steel mill operations. Then in the 1990s, the River Edge Business Park was developed, and Buttonwood stood on the southeastern corner of the business park. And to make room for a warehouse that was being built, the builder moved Buttonwood, moved the house about 300 feet. So it's a little bit closer to downtown and a little bit closer to the river than it was originally. Now, no one has lived in the house since then. And, you know, while the interior is said to be in relatively good shape, right now it certainly needs a new roof and some other repairs to keep the deterioration from accelerating.
Yeah. But Larry, you do note there are some other reasons beyond this building's historical significance that do make it worth saving. What are those other reasons that make this building stand out?
Well, broadly speaking, a 1996 University of Delaware study called Buttonwood a significant example of the type of rural dwelling that was associated with Newcastle residents who had both urban and rural residences. And we mentioned, you know, this is the summer home. They had the Booth family had two houses, one for the 9 months of the year and then one for the summer. Now, more specifically, the design shows that the house was probably used largely for entertainment purposes. On the main floor, on either side of a hallway that stretches all the way from the front to the back of the building, are two large parlors, and there are double-edged leaf doors in between each of the parlors. So it's kind of easy to envision a large party. This was sort of a 19th century version of an open floor plan. So you could move very easily from one parlor to the other on the left side of the stairway and the hall, and the other two parlors on the right side, or cross from one to the other. So you have four very large rooms, all suitable for entertaining on the main floor. Then on top of that, you know, there's a lot of Greek Revival trim, marble fireplace surrounds, and a lot of the interior hardware, I'm told, actually remains there as well.
So what's the current state of Buttonwood? Is it as far gone as some of the other sites that you've looked at recently?
Well, you know, I've seen numerous examples of demolition by neglect around Newcastle County, and Buttonwood isn't one of them, at least not at this point. Now, I haven't been inside Buttonwood, but those who have, and people have been inside it as recently as early June, they say that the interior is in pretty good shape. And yet they warn that if the roof isn't repaired or replaced fairly soon, water intrusion could do major damage to the interior. Now, besides the roof, some of the exterior brickwork needs repair, and new stairways are going to have to be built both front and back in order to have easy access to the building. And in all probability, if any sort of restoration occurs, they're going to have to build a large porch running the length of the back of the house to recreate how it looked in the 19th century.
So your piece notes several obstacles to saving Buttonwood. One of them is location. You've talked a little bit about this already, but can you go a little bit deeper and tell us why this is a problem?
Well, as I said, it's in the corner of this business park, and this warehouse is about a football field away on one side. On the other side of the house, there are wetlands. Now, if you lived in Newcastle 150 years ago, it would have been pretty easy to get to Buttonwood from the downtown area. It would be a kind of a direct route. But with that industrial park, that's certainly not the case today.
And you also seem like you're suggesting there's an accessibility problem here. Tell us a little bit more about this accessibility issue and what issues it raises.
Well, you know, again, once upon a time, before the industrial park was built, there was a road that would have led from Route 9, Newcastle Avenue, pretty much straight back to where the Buttonwood Mansion is located. But now, if you've got a car or a truck, the only way to reach the building is through the industrial park. And that means the entrance is probably a mile or so away down by the entrance to the Delaware Memorial Bridge, where Route 9 and the entrance to the bridge intersect. So you've got a very long drive, really, to get through that way. Now, if you're coming from downtown Newcastle, well, you can't do that directly either, because the logical direct route would be to walk along the Delaware Riverfront. But there's another industrial park closer to the historic district, and you would have to get an easement to get permission to build and construct a path to run along the riverfront through that industrial park to get over to where Buttonwood is.
And finally, there's a question about ownership. What do we know about that?
Well, again, Buttonwood takes up a small portion on the edge of this larger parcel that includes the piece that has the warehouse on it. Now, since the 1990s, this larger parcel has had several owners. The original owners back in the late 1990s had some interest in preserving Buttonwood. But since then, the ownership has changed a couple of times. The current owner is a fairly large real estate investment trust based in Boston that owns no other properties at all in Delaware. So, you know, in terms of profitability, there's little incentive for that owner to maintain or improve Buttonwood. And hence, there's this possibility of the house falling victim to demolition by neglect. And, you know, for those who would like to preserve the building, the consensus seems to be that they're going to have to find a way to put this building in the hands of a nonprofit organization or a government agency that would be willing to take on the restoration and the maintenance of the property.
So what are the best options for saving Buttonwood? What would a plan for its future look like?
Well, there's no plan yet, and that's part of the concern here. You really need a plan before you can go out and look for funding to make the restoration work. Now, first of all, there are, however, plenty of ideas. It probably wouldn't include, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, which would be an old house museum. And, you know, those are just not as popular now as they might have been a generation or so ago. The location, as I said, through this business park, isn't the type of thing that's going to encourage vehicle traffic to get to it. However, given the history of the building, some people say it could work as a venue for social events. Or it could possibly be transformed into an office for, say, an architectural or an engineering business that cares about history or the environment. Or maybe it could be an office for a nonprofit, again, an organization that might be interested in history or in ecology. Another possibility that someone mentioned was this the concept of the resident curatorship, where you might have somebody who's steeped in history living in one portion of the building and maintaining it and opening up the other portions, the non-living areas, for various types of public events. So there are a lot of possibilities, things that people are thinking about, but nothing in or that you might consider a plan, at least not at this point.
And of course, any plan requires money and people or groups working on the property's behalf. Is there any sense that these things can come together for Buttonwood?
Well, let's just say that there's hope. The driving force right now for restoring the old house is Paul Campanelli, a guy whose Newcastle roots include having a father and a grandfather who both served on Newcastle City Council and as the city's police commissioners. And now Mr. Campanelli is pulling together folks from a variety of different interest groups, from the Newcastle City government, the trustees of the Newcastle Common, the Newcastle Historical Society, Preservation Delaware, University of Delaware Center for Historic Architecture and Design, and a number of other organizations. And he's trying to connect with the influential people who can help him tap into possible government or foundation grants to make this work. You know, the key here, as I indicated, is that they first got to figure out a viable adaptive reuse for the building and then use that vision as the centerpiece for their fundraising campaign. Now they're very much in the early stages right now, and you know, it's more likely that this process is going to turn out to be a marathon rather than a sprint. However, no matter how long it's going to take, there is a significant need to put some money into Buttonwood fairly soon, because if there's too much water leaking through that roof, it could very easily wash all of these visions away.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nightingast for enlightening us this week. His piece on the fate of the historic Buttonwood property in Newcastle is available at DelawarePublic.org. And that's all we have time for on this week's edition of The Green. The stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, The Green can also be found via podcast at our website, on Apple Podcasts, the NPR One app, and the Delaware Public Media app. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page, on Twitter at TheGreenDE, or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. Support for The Green comes from Dana, the Delaware Alliance for Nonprofit Advancement. Nonprofits help improve our lives, and Dana helps improve nonprofits. Learn more at DelawareNonprofit.org. Thanks to all those who helped make this week's show possible, contributors Eileen Dalabrita and Larry Nagengast, Delaware Public Media's Joey Rosari and Kelly Steele, and our show producer, Kyle McKinnon. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Bernsink. Thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delawareans get tuned into a first date of mind.